You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Idahoans have been familiar with far-right groups for a while now, but the insurrection at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th put them into the national conversation once again. At least three Idahoans have been arrested for their involvement in the storming of the federal buildings. A Boise-based reporter, Heath Druzin, went on a one-of-a-kind anti-government barnstorming tour with Idaho's Ammon Bundy for his latest piece, which is published in Post Industrial Magazine. Now, our listeners will know Heath from his time as the Guns in America reporter here at Boise State Public Radio. Hey, Heath, really nice to have you back on the program.
Always good to be with you, Gemma.
Okay, so Heath, listeners might know Bundy as the guy that Idaho State Troopers wheeled out of the Idaho State Capitol. I mean, literally on a rolling office chair after he was arrested back in August during a special session of the legislature. But you say we actually need to take his group quite seriously.
Yeah, you know, there's been some, there's certainly been some arguably humorous moments like that. And I actually was at the first meeting of his people's rights group, which seems like 10 years ago, but was about a year ago. And you know, even that didn't look too promising. There was a few dozen people in a drafty warehouse, and I wasn't really sure where it was going to go. But I will say it's grown to tens of thousands of people. They claim upwards of 50,000 people, and experts I talked to say that that's probably right. They've got chapters in the majority of states now, all the way to the Eastern Seaboard, and they have been very active, especially in local and state politics, where they really see the most impact. And we've certainly seen that here in Idaho. We saw them kind of steamroll the Twin Falls City Council. This was a few weeks ago, a couple months ago, I think. You know, that council was all ready to pass a mask mandate, and there was some heavy pressure from Ammon Bundy's group, and they abandoned it. So, yes, I think you know, we do need to be taking them seriously. They're very ambitious. They're sort of motivated, even more motivated by pandemic restrictions, which we hope are going to end soon, but the pandemic's certainly not over. So I don't think Ammon Bundy's going anywhere. He's got a trial coming up for trespassing for that Capitol incident that ended in him being wheeled out that you mentioned. And his supporters are they're incensed by him being prosecuted for that. So I think we're going to see a lot more of them.
So what was he doing in Utah, and what made you decide you want to basically observe this yourself?
So in Utah, he was doing a multi-day tour all over the state, all in-person events, and all, of course, unmasked and actually in violation of Utah's mask order. Unlike Idaho, they have a mask mandate. He was there to spread the message of people's rights, which essentially is that the government is operating unconstitutionally and you should not obey what you consider unconstitutional laws. And he was also, he was also through that trying to recruit people to his group. The reason he was in person was, I think partly because he likes these in-person events. He connects with people. He's a pretty good speaker, and he's got this kind of aw shucks demeanor, and people definitely respond to it. So I think he's kind of at home in these auditorium events where he can directly speak to people. But he's also been deplatformed. He doesn't have Facebook, and he doesn't have a lot of other social media platforms anymore after a lot of them cracked down on anti-government groups. So, you know, this is sort of emblematic of a larger move kind of underground for folks in the far right and the quote unquote patriot movement, where they've kind of run out of some of their normal social media options, and they have to do this more grassroots kind of recruitment.
So really, it sounds like kind of a recruitment tool is what he was doing by by kind of going on maybe a, would you, could you call it like a lecture tour kind of?
That's exactly what it was. It's exactly what it was. And he was going to, you know, he was going to towns like Logan, Utah and Ogden, and some other more rural places in Utah where his message seems to really resonate. And he really, you know, he got pretty big crowds. These weren't huge places, but he was getting capacity crowds where there were about 100 people. And it was a very, very sort of one-on-one event where he'd answer questions and he'd talk to people. And, you know, he would give them his message and they'd say, well, okay, so, but I mean, you know, what about this? And, you know, one of the questions was like, you know, I'm uncomfortable with people being rude to authorities because they've had some run-ins with the law. Mm-hmm. And he would sort of pick that apart piece by piece and point to his interpretation of the Constitution, which of course is quite different than a lot of people's interpretation, and basically explain why people don't have to follow what he sees as tyrannical rules.
So I'm curious about the, if there was any significance maybe in the makeup of the crowd of the folks who went there. I mean, were they all in support of him, or was some of it just curiosity?
I thought the makeup of the crowd was one of the most interesting things that I saw because I wasn't really sure what to expect. And what they looked like, what really struck me is that they looked a lot like the crowd that stormed the Capitol on January 6th. It really wasn't a lot of hardened militia members, although there certainly were there were militia members on January 6th, and some of them are being prosecuted for that. But there was just a lot of people who, you know, I don't know would have showed up there in another political climate. And you had the same thing in Utah with Ammon Bundy's tour, where you saw very few kind of hardened anti-government activists and a lot of people who clearly had kind of given up on the government. But weren't quite sure what to do with that. And we're really looking for direction. And Ammon Bundy was certainly ready to give them advice, give them direction, and try to channel that anti-government energy. I'll give you a quick example that I found really interesting. There was a woman, looked like an older woman who was clearly a little uncomfortable with some of what was being said, but also, you know, seemed to kind of be on board in general. And she said, you know, how do we fight the government and fight these rules without causing a civil war? To which Ammon Bundy, I will say, kind of rejected the premise and basically said, you know, don't take offensive action, but if we have to fight back and they call it a civil war, then it's justified, which I think some people would think is pretty alarming.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Boise-based freelance reporter Heath Druzan about his recent reporting on Ammon Bundy's anti-government tour of Utah. Heath, I want to get back to something that you brought up with deplatforming, because in your article, you talk about this. And this is basically, as you mentioned, they've been deplatformed from social media. But a lot of people might take solace in that, right? Well, you can't find them on Facebook. You can't find them on Twitter. But experts are saying this could actually make the groups more dangerous.
Right. So there's a double-edged sword there. Experts that I've talked to who follow far-right groups, they're not necessarily against deplatforming, and they think that it really, you know, has had an impact. But they're saying it's also driving people kind of underground and to spaces like Telegram, for example, which is much more popular with more far-right groups and more anti-government groups. And they're saying these spaces can become more echo chambers than maybe a more public mainstream space like Twitter, where some of these ideas that a lot of people consider fringe can actually become more radical because they're basically just bouncing these ideas off like-minded people. And then another thing that they've noticed is that it also makes it a little harder to track. You know, in the case of Ammon Bundy, if he's doing in-person events, unless you've got people there sort of recording and posting them, then it's hard to know that that's even happening. And so when local law enforcement already struggles to kind of follow these groups anyway, not to mention federal law enforcement for that matter. When they go to these spaces, it's a little harder to know what's going on. And, you know, that's part of the strategy, I think, for moving to these spaces. It's not like these groups want to be monitored. So yes, so there's some real concerns about unintended consequences.
So when Bundy was finished with his Utah tour, can you talk to us about what happened in Boise? Because experts are maybe a little concerned about that. So can you fill listeners in who might not be aware?
Yes, he wasted no time getting back to Idaho and getting arrested again. I believe it was 2 days after he got back from Utah, he had a court date, and it was going to be his jury trial for a charge of trespassing. He basically he staged a sit-in at a committee hearing room in the Capitol a few months ago, refused to leave, and was arrested for trespassing. It's a misdemeanor charge. So his jury trial came up, and the rules have changed because of a uptick in COVID. But at the time, you actually could have an in-person jury trial, but you had to wear a mask. Well, he refused to wear a mask, so he couldn't go in. And the judge issued a warrant for his arrest for failure to appear for his trial because he would not follow the rules. Well, I mean, this was all sort of planned. His followers were outside the Ada County Courthouse waiting for exactly this eventuality. They staged a protest. It got tense. There were some scuffles with law enforcement. One of his followers actually was arrested for felony battery on an officer, and he's still awaiting trial for that. So, and Ammon was also arrested for the warrant for failing to appear. It gets a little complicated, but essentially This was a very elaborate protest against pandemic restrictions. And Ammon Bundy was arguing that they're unconstitutional and that he should be able to attend his trial without a mask. The judge disagreed. Things kind of went downhill from there.
Right. And we should note that within the county courthouse, this was a ruling that came down from the Idaho Supreme Court, just for people who aren't aware of that. So Heath, I'm also curious then, is there anyone who is standing up to this far right activity here in Idaho or maybe even in other Western states? Because we are not unfamiliar with anti-government groups in the Mountain West.
That's right. That is another trend I've been noticing. There do seem to be more groups popping up, and it's kind of an interesting mix of more kind of old school conservatives who see the Republican Party drifting too far right for their comfort, and then more liberal groups who, for kind of obvious reasons, disagree with the politics of the far right. I've seen more groups popping up as the far right has gained influence and gained power. There's one very new group in Idaho called the Idaho 97 Project, which is the number itself is sort of mocking the 3% militia in Idaho, who's been very prominent in state politics. You got a group called Idaho Conservatives, which is more what I talked about, the sort of more old school conservatives who want to bring their party back from the grips of the far right. And you see it in Montana too, actually. There's another group of moderate Republicans there who've kind of created a caucus in the state house there to fight back against far right politics. So part of this is liberal groups, opposing the far right. And part of it, frankly, is kind of it's a cliche, but it's a battle for the soul of the Republican Party in some of these states.
Well, Heath, it is always good to have you on the program. Always a pleasure. Such great reporting. So appreciate your time today.
Thanks, Gemma.
And we've been talking with Boise-based freelance reporter Heath Drusen. We will link Heath's latest story that we were just talking about in regards to Ammon Bundy. It is from Post Industrial Magazine. We will post that on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Up next, a perspective on schools reopening during the pandemic and the concerns that we've been seeing with children's health. More Idaho Matters next.